handle the academy. Chop my big chest where the best is a philosophy. Drinking at lunch brings verbal skills like a sucker punch. Welcome to CMIB. Yeah, yeah, CMIB. Yeah, yeah, CMIB. Yeah, yeah, CMIB. Yeah, yeah.
I am enjoying the new theme song. That's the second time we've done the theme song. I'm pretty happy about it. I think just having a theme song with my own name in it makes a big difference. That is Stones Moyo, a rapper from Zimbabwe. He will essentially write and produce the entirety of the song for you. So if you have a project that you need a little rap song to, reach out, look out, search for Stones Moyo. You'll get his Facebook and some other stuff. Very happy about that. I got him. When my friend Nigel made a song for the old podcast, I kept forgetting to say him and his thing. So I was like, I got to do this right and give credit where credit's due. Stones Moyo. That's not what we're talking about. In a Niche News Japan story a couple weeks ago, there was a story about the Coke is going to start testing vending machines that have surge pricing. Surge pricing, to me, is the new subscriptions of the future. So I did an episode a while ago, and it was about how everything's trying to be a subscription service. And that's their way of getting a little bit of money from you all the time forever. And you end up with a billion subscription services you don't need, but you forget to like cancel them, or they make it really hard to cancel, or any other number of things. At the end of the day, you're subscribing to things you don't need or don't want. Coke is taking it a slightly different way. And I think surge pricing is the model they're going to have going forward. So if it's a busy time, the price goes up. So this is essentially just speculating. This is just stocks, only it's with everyday items. So you want to buy a Coke. You can't buy a Coke during a busy time because the Coke's going to be 200, 210, 250 yen. Whereas if you wait till it's like 4 o'clock in the morning, that price is going to drop down to 150, 140 yen. And so you're really just going to be, what is the best time to short Coke? Because I'll buy Cokes and then resell them to people at a slight profit out in front of the machine again or something like that. Like, people made jokes about this on the internet, but this is exactly what is going to happen, is people will buy Coke when it's cheap and then sell it for a small profit when it's expensive and make money off the Cokes. This came up last week because of Wendy's. And I used to like Wendy's. I used to have a very fond feeling from memories of Wendy's. And it's because Dave Thomas, founder of Wendy's, was a significant influence on my life. And you might be like, well, that's weird. And I'm like, yes, it is weird. When I was in high school, it was grade 11, grade 12. So sort of those initial proper rebellious years, early rebelliousness years. I think you're like 15, 16. 16 is when I got my first motorcycle. So I'm driving a motorcycle. I think I'm pretty cool. And again, amongst 16-year-olds, having a motorcycle does make you pretty cool. I really was like a tiny 125cc motorcycle that I rode to and from school, but $5 of gas would last me for the week and more. So it was like a great thing to have as a young teen. This also meant this was the time when my friends and I were skipping a lot of school, and there was a McDonald's and a Wendy's. McDonald's was the big company and Wendy's wasn't, even though Wendy's is still a massive company. We went there regularly to spend what little money we had on the dollar menu for lunch. So one day we're skipping school. We're in Wendy's. It's about 5 blocks away from our school. We could walk there. This man walks up to our table and he says, "Hey boys, how's it going?" And it's Dave Thomas, founder of Wendy's. And he wasn't shitty to us because we were clearly skipping school. And he just sat down, and he actually sat down at a table next to us. He goes like, "So what do you guys want to do? What are you thinking about?" And asking about our lives and stuff, and talked to us like equals. Or at least it seemed that way to us at the time, because every other adult had talked down to us. So Dave Thomas, founder of Wendy's, is having a very nice conversation with us. He goes, "You know what? I'm Dave Thomas, founder of Wendy's. Why don't you go up to the front, get whatever you boys want?" And we're 16, 17-year-old eating machines. We're like, "What? We're going to go up and," like, as a joke, we're like, "We're going to go up and order one of everything on the menu." And Dave Thomas, founder of Wendy's, looks at us and goes, "I think you should do that." And so I think there were three of us at the time. I remember me and my friend Chris were there. There might have been another guy with us, but Chris was a football player. He was gigantic at 16 years old, and he could have eaten the whole menu 2-3 times over. No problem. So we go up to the front and we say, "Dave Thomas, founder of Wendy's, said we could get anything we want off the menu." And the poor staff behind the place is looking at us like, if Dave Thomas, founder of Wendy's, says that at a Wendy's, that is pretty much true. So what would you like? And we're like, well, as a joke, we said we want one of everything, which would mean two of everything on the menu to take back to our table, and we're going to eat it. And she said, well, if that's what Dave Thomas, founder of Wendy's, said, that's what's going to happen. So over the course of an hour, they just brought us food and food and food. And again, eating machines, we ate all of it. And we actually felt like obligated. And the whole time Dave Thomas, founder of Wendy's, was sitting next to us, telling us that we should, you know, not in a harsh way, but saying like, we got to take school seriously. School is very important. Dave Thomas, founder of Wendy's, didn't finish high school. He opened his Wendy's and then he made this company. And then he finished high school. Then he went to university as an adult. And so he valued education. So I, from that day, it wasn't a quick change, but there was a click, a little switch or something in my head that had me going, I want to graduate university and I think I want to go to university. And I think if Dave Thomas, founder of Wendy's, hadn't sat down for basically an hour or something plus in an afternoon and just talked to some high school boys, I don't know if I would have gone to university or not. I would have done something else. Maybe. I don't know how my life would have turned out. Maybe better, maybe worse. But education became a valuable thing to me because of Dave Thomas, founder of Wendy's. So when I see this kind of behavior from Wendy's, it makes me feel less about that fond memory I have. It's, or like they're sullying what Dave Thomas, founder of Wendy's.
Take a shot every time he says Dave Thomas, founder of
okay,
Wendy's.
If I just say Dave Thomas, Dave Thomas is a relatively bland name. It's like my name, my actual name. If you said it, it's almost has no meaning. So it has to be Dave Thomas, founder of Wendy's. That's who he is. He is Dave Thomas. He's not just Dave Thomas. He's Dave Thomas, founder of Wendy's. No, I've never said his name without putting founder of Wendy's on it because that is how he introduced himself. Hey, boys, I'm Dave Thomas, founder of Wendy's. Yeah, you could do a drinking game. If you get me to talk about Dave Thomas, founder of Wendy's, I will always say the entirety of his title, Dave Thomas, founder of Wendy's. There are certain people that if you say their name, you want to say the whole thing. If I was ever on the Joe Rogan podcast, I would say Joe Rogan. I would never say Joe. I would always be like, hey, Joe Rogan. I don't know why. I don't even like particularly like the guy. But that's just the reality is Joe Rogan is Joe Rogan. He's never anything but Joe Rogan. And Dave Thomas, founder of Wendy's, is always Dave Thomas, founder of Wendy's. Okay, so Wendy's proposed surge pricing. They had like a stockholder call thing. They're talking about their profits and how amazing they are as a company. They're trying to get people to give them more money to invest more. So this is about stakeholders. And they said, we got this great idea. We're going to get these new digital menus up. And these digital menus mean that we can change the prices very easily, which means we can do surge pricing. We can have an algorithm, some people in place. They're going to make sure the algorithm doesn't go too crazy. But when it's busy, we can increase the price. When it's not busy, we can lower the price. Now, a Baconator, which I guess is now the standard Wendy's fare, is $12.24 in New York City. My feeling was surge pricing always has a floor, but no ceiling. So they're always going to get a minimum, and that minimum right now is going to be $12.24. So if I go to a Wendy's at 4 o'clock in the morning, even with this surge pricing, I could get a Baconator for $12.24. But if I go during lunchtime, dinner time, it's going to be $13, $14, $15. Who knows how much in demand the Baconator is. But that's what the surge pricing is. And it means one of the jokes that was on the internet was I could literally be in line and the Baconator up on the screen would say $12.24 for the Baconator plus a set or something. And then by the time I got to the register, the price has changed to $14. So that put a sort of bit of into everybody's, what is it? Something in your craw. I don't even know what a craw is. But there's another example of how this doesn't work. And it was the Canadian dollar versus the American dollar. So I'm Canadian. I grew up in Canada. And every book in Canada has the American price and the Canadian price. And the Canadian price was always, let's say it's a $10 book. The Canadian price would be, so it would be say $10 US, $12 Canadian. And you got used to it. $5 book, American, $7.50 Canadian. It was always kind of like $2, something like that. And they said the reason for this was because of the dollar exchange rate. Now, they couldn't fluctuate, but they're like, we always add on, let's say, $2 to the price of a book for the Canadian exchange rate so that these people make their money. I'm not against publishers or writers making money. I am against gouging. Now, the thing is, there was a very short period, I think it's when I was in university, where the Canadian dollar surpassed the value of the American dollar. I think it lasted for about a week. And during that week, they didn't switch those prices. It didn't alternate back and forth. When the Canadian dollar was more valuable than the American dollar, they didn't lower the prices of books in Canada. The only reason I know it was books because that was like, it's stamped on the book. It's a constant. They didn't go into bookstores and like put a sticker on them all, making the American price $12.50 and the Canadian price $10. No, they just took all that extra money and tried to run away with it. And that's, again, where consumers are cautious or concerned or see that surge pricing is price gouging. And that's the other thing that people are actually calling it. Surge pricing isn't surge pricing, it's price gouging. What this company, what Wendy's is hoping is that because you've gotten used to this idea because of Uber, you've gotten used to this idea in certain situations that it's become normalized enough that they can try it and you'll just think it's a normal thing. This is something you talk about like microtransactions in video games. When I grew up, there was no such thing. DLC was already a very suspicious thing. I bought the DLC for Rockstar games, for like Grand Theft Auto games, because that was always worth the money. But like a lot of DLC was not worth the money, so I didn't buy it. And then microtransactions were introduced. My kids have grown up with microtransactions just being part of every game. So for them, it's normalized, so they don't see it as a disgusting, horrible thing that I do. I'm very anti-microtransaction because I didn't grow up without it. So what they're hoping is they can get surge prices into place and get people used to them. When people are used to them, they won't actually question that surge pricing is actually price gouging. 52% of consumers consider that dynamic pricing, which is the way they actually call it, is actually just some form of price gouging. And like I said, this is the normalization of subscription services, which is the thing I was complaining about, I don't know, maybe 2 months ago. The most offensive version of that right now is Hewlett-Packard is actually making you or wants you to subscribe to your printer. So let me get the details up and actually read the details. It's called the HP All-in-One Plan. It's essentially an extension of HP's Instant Ink. So Instant Ink was when you subscribe to ink. So when the printer gets low, they'll send you more ink or they'll just send you ink on a regular basis. It was just the price they're charging like per print was actually the bit I was most shocked by. You have ink sent to you as you approach empty, but unlike it, your monthly fee also covers the printer itself. So the HP All-in-One Plan, you get a printer and ink that you do not own, you are subscribing to, you're essentially renting it. They start at $6.99 per month for 20 pages worth of prints. So you can do the math. I mean, technically you're getting the printer and the prints, but you only get to print 20 pages. So there are some months I would print nothing at home. But then there are some months if I was going to print something, it's going to be essentially a book. The HP Envy model, it goes up to $35.99 a month. They can get you an OfficeJet Pro and 700 pages of printing. But if you go over your page allotment, HP will add more for a dollar per block of 10 to 15 pages. So basically, if you print your maximum and you go over, you now have to pay another dollar. You get like 10 more pages, 20 more pages, that kind of stuff. So if it's a busy month, you're going to end up accidentally paying more. That's fucking disgusting. I don't know where printer companies got the balls to do all this. Each plan has a 2-year rental. So it's not a lease to own. So you don't own it at the end. So at 2 years, you have to give it back. And if you decide HP All-in-One isn't for you after all, you'll have to return the printer and go back to rubbing elbows with everyone else at FedEx or whatever to one of your print stunts. It's fucking ridiculous. Because I'm still at that point where when they want me to buy printer ink, I will I actually had this problem where buying a new printer with ink in it was cheaper than buying more printer ink. Where they got the idea that this was going to work long term, because it's actually worked longer than I expected. And that's the bit that I actually think is sets me off, is that how has this gone on for this long? I want to own a printer. I barely use it. I use the scanner a lot because I'll scan stuff in. But again, we've hit this digital point. And I get they're trying to squeeze out the last dollars from the idea of like physical printing. But because they're being so aggressive about it, it actually would turn me off printing more. I would be less likely to print from this point going forward in the hopes that I don't need a printer at all.
It's a whole thing. There's software that runs on printers at offices to keep people from printing too much.
Because at my job, I have to, like, when I print stuff, it's for 100 people. So it's one sheet for 100 people, and sometimes it's 2-3 sheets. I have no choice because we have 100 employees I might have to give stuff to.
I worked at a school where instead of giving out new ink, we just replaced the printer. Lol.
Replaced the printer. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, that's exactly what I mean. Like, I had a printer, and I could pay, it was like 4,000 or 5,000 yen for replacement ink, and then I was on Amazon and it was like 3,000 yen for a printer with ink in it. So whenever they tell me like how much it costs to print, my first thought is there's no way that's what it actually costs. I mean, that might be what you're being charged, but that's not what it costs. Then the meeting that Wendy's has sort of leaks that we have this dynamic pricing, we have these new digital boards up on the wall. We're going to be able to change the prices essentially from a home office. We're going to have an algorithm do it. It's going to be amazing. Then that gets out one day later. They start walking it back, and they start walking it back really hard. Actually, we never said that. We were just saying that the boards give us more flexibility. The flexibility, I assume, would actually be on the pricing, the one thing they talked about. This was misconstrued by media outlets. We have no plans to do that, that being the surge pricing, and would never raise prices when customers visit us the most, which is the most fake corporate statement I've ever heard. So here's Wendy's full statement. Earlier this month, we issued our fourth quarter and full year 2023 earnings results and included an update on investments we are making in our digital business. I was thinking I should do this in like a regal voice. Oh, sorry. Dave just went a little apeshit on my lap. Earlier, there's two ways. So if I do this in different voices, it actually changes the tone of the message. I could just read it normal, but this may be, I got to try out some voices. I think I got to start doing some voices, especially because this is primarily an audio podcast. It's actually, video is not a big part of it. Earlier this month, we issued our fourth quarter and full year 2023 earning results and included an update on investments we are making in our digital business. One initiative is digital menu boards, which are being added to the U.S. company-operated restaurants. We said these menu boards would give us more flexibility to change the display of featured items. This was misconstrued in some media reports as an intent to raise prices when demand is highest at our restaurants. It was ridiculous. If I read that same thing in a hillbilly voice, it actually sounds way more sincere. So that's the first thing he said is like, Hey, when we said we could change stuff on the board, we weren't talking about prices, even though we did definitely say dynamic pricing in that call. That's not what we were talking about. We were talking about like the things we want to display, promote up front. We would never as a large corporation. Large corporations don't think like that. When people come to us most, we want to be most generous with them. And here's the thing, Dave Thomas, founder of Wendy's, probably would think that way. Because I believe Dave Thomas, founder of Wendy's, is a good guy. Because I met him, I spent time with him, very short time. He had me ensnared in his loving gaze. He made me want to be Wendy. But back to our sycophants. We have no plans to do that and would never not raise prices when our customers are visiting us most. Any features we may test in the future would be designed to benefit our customers and restaurant crew members, never us or the shareholders or stockholders or investments or anything like that. Those people are disgusting. Digital menu boards could allow us to change the menu offerings at different times of day and offer discounts when value offers to our customers more easily, particularly in the slower times of day. We would never raise prices when it's busy. We would only lower when it's not that busy. Ensnared in Dave Thomas, founder of Wendy's gaze. Yeah, I might actually end up writing that book. They did the KFC romance novel. I still want to actually kind of get a copy of that and read it. But Wendy's has always been about providing high quality food. Already a lie. The food is pretty rank. The only reason I went there is, again, because of my fondness for the men and the reminiscence and the memory that I have. And Frosties. Frosties, I don't know what's in them. It's probably just sand and ice cream, but they are awesome.
Have you played I Love You, Colonel Sanders?
I have seen it. I have not played it. I should play it probably. Wendy's has always been about providing high-quality food at great value, and customers continue to expect that from our brand. Conclusion, always be suspicious of companies. That statement cannot be taken at face value. That statement cannot be taken at face value because he is lying. He is lying because consumers were angry and he didn't want Wendy's to look bad and lose market share. That's the only thing that matters. But it does demonstrate that consumers do have a certain amount of power that they probably don't think they have. Not going to Wendy's punishes Wendy's for practices we don't like. Not buying things punishes companies we don't like. I have said, I did a podcast years and years ago, and it was about how to break telecom corporations. And essentially, the concept was, so you have Viacom, I don't remember the name. There's two big ones in America. In Canada, they have two companies. It's basically split between West and East. And they're technically not a monopoly because they don't cover the whole country. But obviously, it's two companies that essentially price match. So they're always charging the same. So you can't get a better deal. Anyways, a giant telecom, if everyone would commit. There you go. TELUS is the example I will use. TELUS is a giant telecom. If everyone would commit to going a week without internet, without phone service. So we just choose a week in the year, maybe a holiday, something like that. A really inconvenient time for them. Everyone start canceling their service during the same week. And I don't mean like a bunch of people. I mean, literally everybody. They would start changing their price to get everyone back as quickly as possible. And they make it sound like it's impossible. They make it sound like they can't make improvements. They make it sound like the network can't be upgraded or something like that. The amount of service, the amount of discount they would put forward to get you to not quit once they hit a 30, 40% loss rate of customers. Like, we don't even have to get everybody. It's just as that number climbs up day to day, as people see the momentum, they would change prices. This story shows nothing actually happened. They said, hey, we're looking at dynamic pricing, surge pricing. People were like, fuck Wendy's. Wendy's is fucking disgusting. The next day they're in there going, oh no, we never said that. The peons misunderstood. The media outlets lied to you. We at Wendy's, we are trustworthy because we do not cut corners. That's the thing. At Wendy's, they have square patties. At Wendy's, we don't cut corners. So be aware. I should just end there. I don't have a conclusion. But we can fuck companies. But the thing is, we need to fuck companies together, which sounds really dirty. But that's maybe dirty is where we need to be.
Enter the mind of the academy. Chop my big chest where the best is a philosophy. Drinking at lunch brings verbal skills like a sucker punch. Welcome to CMIB. CMIB, yeah, yeah, CMIB, yeah, yeah, CMIB, yeah.